Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Greetings, world. Welcome back to another live episode of Piercing the Veil Radio. Today, of course, is recognized universally as Mother's Day here on this planet. And we're going to be contributing quite a bit of our topic and our time to the understanding or understanding of the divine feminine. Okay? We're really going to dig down into what is that, what's happening to it, how has it shown up on the planet, how has it shown up personally to us, so on and so forth. Okay? There's a few things before we get into the show that I want to cover. First of all, Corey's not going to be joining us this episode. He's doing some traveling, so we're just going to let him do his thing. He'll be back on next episode, next week. Also, in the last episode, we did a Let's Build a Community session 4, and we spoke a little bit regarding workshops and productivity. And as is typical, we also talked about some current events and statistics and things like that. I actually misspoke, so I wanted to make a retraction and correct myself on the record this time. I said that after 9/11, more veterans have been murdered by police interaction than in the Iraq War. That was not true. Americans, I had misquoted that, is Americans. More Americans have been murdered by the police state since 9/11 than the Iraq War casualty losses that were tallied. So that's pretty scary in of itself. That still remains a big issue, but I did want to make that correction and make sure that we're speaking the highest truth that we can, if you will. Okay, so moving on from that, what we'll do is we're going to have a special guest today. His name is Davi, or David, if you will. We're going to call him Davi because that's what he goes by. And he's just an enlightened, awakened member of the community in local circles here in Dallas-Fort Worth, who I had the pleasure and blessing to become acquainted with. And so we're going to bring him on, and he's going to give us a really nice story at the end of the show. He's going to tell us about his time in the swinging 60s, the summer of 66 to be specific, right there smack dab in San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury district. That's going to be very interesting, and I'm really excited to hear about that. So what we'll do now is just discuss a few things that's happening in the world, a few updates, and we'll move right into introducing Davi, and we'll get into our show. And so what I'll say here is the French elections were completely stolen with ripped ballots and things like that. That's something we had mentioned last week. So the corruption is bleeding through. It's becoming more outright. They have to keep showing themselves in order to sustain or maintain the control structure. And by they, I mean certain levels of physical groups that are basically henchmen or puppets for non-physical groups, which have been controlling this area of the galaxy for a very long time. And in short, we've gone into other shows and said that evil is not on a level or even footing with good. It's just an anomaly. It's a little tiny anomalous mutated form of energy that needs to be reconciled, and it is being reconciled. So things are very very swiftly clearing or happening on this planet right now. I think a lot of people can feel that. And so it's appropriate to speak about the divine feminine, because divine feminine is what carries forth the essence of ascension, the essence of growth, the essence of love, productivity, creativity, forgiveness, moving into abundance, out of scarcity, so on and so forth. Okay, and we're going to talk about how that's balanced with the sacred masculine, and also the fake patriarchal evil control that's happening. You know, I don't want to acknowledge the third wave feminist movement or SWJs or any of stuff like that, because I completely wholeheartedly don't agree with any of that stuff. I think it's a bastardized, controlled opposition force that's trying to be the new counterculture. It's not the new counterculture. It can never be the new counterculture, because counterculture's always existed. It's just gone into the background. All the hippies grew up and turned into hackers and information activists and things like that. Well, there's exceptions, but on a general scale, that's where we are. We've never left, okay? And they've never left. So I rebut the fact that those people that are doing all these crazy riots and stupid Antifa bullshit, that I rebut the fact that those guys have anything to do with free speech. In fact, they've shown quite to be the opposite. Anything to do with any type of anarchy, because anarchy is self-controlled, self-government. It's not chaos. It has nothing to do with that. So we reject the notion, at least here on Piercing the Veil, of any of that crap. And that's why I also wanted to bring Dobby on, because he has a firsthand insight into a true organic movement, how it started or how it was flourishing and blossoming at its height. And the movement would be love and feminine energy and openness and understanding and learning and growth. And we're going to get into this, but there's been surges throughout our history, if you want to call it time, if you will, our history. There's surges of love, enlightenment, feminine energy, where it's breaking through the suppression cycle. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to introduce our guest, David Dobby Wright. David, thank you so much for coming on here. I'll refer to you as Dobby and try to remember that. I really appreciate your time today in advance, and I'm super excited to get into some of this stuff. So welcome on board. If you could just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, and we'll just continue from there.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Yeah, these are very exciting times, and yeah, this is wonderful to have the opportunity to do this. I'm 66 years old this year, and so I was 17 when I was in San Francisco, but turned 17 out there, in fact. But yeah, it was an incredible time. But a brief bit about myself is that I know my whole life I've been involved with this journey, this quest, this evolutionary journey, and you know, as everyone finds themselves, you know, to be somewhat more or less part of, and the more I do the inner work, it seems like the more the world around me changes, which is the coolest part of it of all. But anyway, so go ahead, Jordan. That's pretty much where that's at.
That was excellent. I really appreciate you you bringing these wholeness concepts along with you. And the reason I was laughing was not at your age. It was just at the synchronicity of us talking about the summer of 66 at the time that you're currently 66 and discussing where you are now as opposed to then. And like you said, literally when you were speaking, the words finding out who you are, people finding out who they are, was coming to my mind as you're talking about journeys of self-discovery that we all go through. And so I truly believe that environment has a big effect on when we're starting out, how much we can amplify our mission or our life purpose or our goals depends on how much juice we get from our outside environment when we're just getting started. However, once you've acquired many, many years, such as yourself, of experience, of mistakes, of learning, of letting go, of clearing karma, of all these things that you've gone through, and most people go through on their, some people, I should say, because most people just go further and further into their dysfunction, into this fear of death, which is what we're trying to prevent. But I digress. What I'm speaking of, Dobby, is essentially the fact that right now, what you have today is so much more profound than the worldview that you, even with your same intentions, that you could have recognized back then. But I'm also saying that now that you are so complete, if you will, obviously we're always still growing, but now that you're so complete with your knowledge base and your experiences, you can really start creating from inside, as opposed to relying on that jump or that boost from the outside environment as you did when you were 17, when somebody's just getting started on their spiritual path. Well, now you've got all this energy accumulated, you're chugging along, and what you're seeing, and like myself, what we're seeing is our reality literally shaping before our eyes as we wish it, as we intend it, as we express it to. And that's nothing new. That's just the natural state of a human being, of the consciousness. People really need to understand that we are being hit from all sides for a reason. You're not being attacked because you're weak. It's total bullshit. That is total bullshit. The very fact that everybody is being attacked with electronic harassment, with social engineering, with the death of cultures, targeted culture assassination, and the fall of society. You know, we're basically at the end of a civilization right now where debauchery and everything is trying to reign supreme before everybody falls apart. and with debt slavery economics and international fractional reserve banking, GMOs, vaccines, chemtrailing, weather manipulation as war, secret space programs and electronic mind manipulation, so on and so forth. I could go all day long, but these things are happening on a broad range spectrum because there's no other way they can control your spark, your seed, your source, your connection to God. They can't do it. They can't replicate it, can't control it. Again, who's they? Well, the minions doing and operating all these technological things, because certain things, in order to be done in the physical realm, unless you're some sort of ascended master, it requires technological assistance. You need the help of some sort of matter moving in a certain way or doing something to help you, right? And that's what these guys are using to amplify their black magic and their rituals and doing on the ley lines. And they're doing it at the instruction of out-of-body entities. It's not all, pixies and fairy dust outside of the body. That's not how it works. There's a lot of realms that are not very good. But those things are being cleared out, and you can assist in that by being yourself, right? So, Davi, I want to get into the divine feminine and what it means to me and what it means to you, so our listeners can get an idea of, okay, well, what's the solution? How do we move into love? How do we move into creativity? How do we dispel what's sort of been referenced as a Machiavellian patriarchy throughout the ages, with the exception of tribalism, because most tribal structures are community feminine based, and the men, are preset divine binary roles where hunting is assigned to the men and so on and so forth. But that's just pure efficiency. The dudes are built with testosterone; they're built to do these things, and the women are built for nurturing, caring, breastfeeding, so on and so forth. And yes, there are women warriors and Zulu tribes and all sorts of other crazy stuff, but everything is a balance, and there's always a balance to the minority is a balance to the majority. It's not an exception. It's not something to be looked at as not good enough. It's a equal and integral component. So every minority and majority of any type of thing, whether it be race, population, creed, nationality, whatever, is a balance in and of itself. And to try to use identity politics to further separate it is only serving to shoot yourself in the foot for people of that movement. You're just shooting yourself in the foot. So the only real truth that we're going to come to is that the balance and harmony of the divine feminine and the sacred masculine have to be something that's integral in your life in order to start taking control of your environment, taking control of where you're manifesting, as opposed to trying to ride along in a little dinghy in a stormy ocean and hope that you're going to survive. Okay, that's my little soapbox on it before we get into it. So now I'm going to ask you, Davi, if you can contribute here. What does it personally mean to you when you hear divine feminine, or what is that showing up to you as in your life? If you can just give us a rundown on that, please.
Okay, well, basically, what we're talking about here is on the male side of society is becoming more in touch with their feminine side, because both of them should exist equally within every person. So for females, it's the male, sacred male. But these things evolve through the way we think about them, basically, to start with, because the divine feminine should invoke the highest possible idea that a person can come up with about what female or feminine means to them, whether it's the highest sun in the highest heaven, if you still want to attach a form to that, or whatever it might be. But in other words, thinking very highly of females if you're a male. And, this is something that we're constantly bombarded with in society by selling things with, not so good motives, and just other things that go on in that way that are kind of pulling people back down into their base nature. And whereas...
And locking them in their gender role. They're locking them in that role so that they make it socially unacceptable to go inside and introspect in a way that a female might. And I really like what you said about the balance, because that's what it takes. Thinking in a way, or now here's the thing. There's a reason for that, Davi. physics will tell you that the left brain and the right brain operate in two different, very different manners. One is creative, one is abstract, one is feeling, one is doing this, and the other is very logical, very task-oriented, very step-by-step, very get this done, boom, 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 boom. And when you look at groups of women versus groups of men, on a general sense, you will see those traits and aspects that have just biologically evolved and just been that way for so long. Now, there is left and right aspects of the brain in both men and women. So the brain itself crosses the gender gap by providing the ability to use either male or feminine energy in your thought processes, in your actions, in your meditations, in your introspections, in your thinking about your feelings, in your feeling about your feelings, in your perspective of your feelings, so on and so forth.
This is what we discovered in the 60s, that through meditation, I mean, you know, when I'm just going to have to come out with it, and LSD, you know.
Talk about whatever you want. We've talked about psychedelics here on the past shows. There's no sense of
terrific. But, you know, that's one of the most expansive chemicals there is, I think, in my personal experience. But, yeah,
Sorry to interrupt you. Before you get into that, I just want to drop this little side note. Most people don't understand, and it's very controversial to people in these circles, but Timothy Leary was a CIA-controlled asset, and the creation of lysergic acid was a direct failure of a CIA mind-control experiment. They were attempting to make the mind do not to expand the mind. They were attempting to do the opposite and control it, and it backfired on them. And then it just went like wildfire through the community. So, yeah, please give us some details about that. I apologize for interrupting. I wanted to get that out.
That's okay. I'm going to kind of do a little – I don't want to leap too far or get off the page, but getting back to the brain, actual physical structure of the brain, we realized on LSD that – when the ajna opens, which is the pineal gland, the third eye center, the frontal cortex is the left hemisphere, is the like positive affirmative side of the brain, and the right hemisphere is kind of like the antithesis of that. Okay, so if we have left hemisphere as thesis and right hemisphere as antithesis, we're going to search out divine love via dialectic. And then the third eye becomes the transcendental synthesis, uniting
mind. The mediator,
mind.
Harmonizer.
Yeah, uniting mind. In other words, for males and females then, that becomes whole oneness.
Yes, and so for the female, they're balanced with their sacred male and have access to the completely left brain balanced thinking with the right brain, and then vice versa for the person in the male binary structure.
Absolutely, man. That's it.
And so the pineal gland is the seat of the consciousness, and the consciousness is what observes the duality or observes the polarity. And so the Trinity that's spoken of in the Bible is really referring to how consciousness and how universal structure is made up of three parts. There's always the duality, the this and the opposite of that, and then there's the consciousness, and then the way that the universe evolves organically is those entities or those consciousness or those bits of consciousness of source, how they react, how they interact, how they make the decisions, how they perceive, how they feel, how they this, how they that. And then it all just organically goes boop, 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 and you create the random quantum flux, which is chaotic yet structured at the same time of reality. And it's all balanced and harmonious in its true state. It's only when we're polarized to some such degree, either by, social engineering influence or GMOs or whatever. So, yeah, how has it shown up to you in your life other than your experiences with LSD? Because obviously that would definitely be a huge divine feminine inrush for you. What sort of things do you recognize in a woman or even in a man that provides, as a friend, that provides feminine comfort somehow, you know?
Yeah, I keep going back to this idea of the evolutionary journey and how the character's psyche kind of reflects the increasing difficulty of treading the evolutionary journey, because the third task that was required at Psych was to fill a crystal bottle with water from the spring that feeds the river Styx and Cocytus, the streams of the underworld. So here again, you know, we're looking at transforming energies that are dual in origin, and they come together as kundalini. And when that kundalini rises to the third eye center, or the sixth chakra, and that ignites and it opens, then that the purpose of taking LSD no longer exists.
Because that's right, because you're already there.
once you have raised the kundalini to the pineal gland, that's what LSD did overnight. But it takes a few years to do this on your own when you're, you know, just meditating and practicing yoga. So people
now,
need
here's
to
the,
realize
here's
that,
the thing
like, okay.
I apologize. I was just going to say, here's the thing. Also, there's so much more negative outside influence preventing people from even taking LSD when they do, preventing them from blasting off, or preventing them from getting the full integration or reconnection. And that's there's exceptions. People that are extremely powerful, like myself and others, have had this ability to get through a little bit. But I totally agree with what you're saying. Once it rises all the way through, you've completed the connection that should have organically been there already, but it's been bioengineered out of our genes.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've talked about on a different show about alien interference. So, yeah, go ahead. Maybe if you can just expound a little bit more about any sort of personal exact experiences, and maybe not just in the 60s, throughout your lifetime. Like, today is Mother's Day. What about speaking about some of the things that you remember about your mother, which were the driving forces of your respect or your admiration of her divine feminine energy? Right, because everybody has the different stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for bringing that up, because I am primary caregiver at this time for my 97-year-old mother, who's in really good shape, still plays bridge and gets around. I'm her chauffeur and, you know, chief cook and bottle washer and so forth. But no more at this time in our lives has this, you know, come up and come together as it is now for us to, you know, find divinity in each other and realize that divinity in ourselves. And it's something that's unfolding every day. And she's determined to make 100 years old, which I believe that most people are supposed to, generally speaking, everyone's supposed to live that long. But, you know,
yes.
But she's gone through a lot in her life. She grew up living in a tent with a dirt floor. Her father built highways around Dallas. He built Beltline Road. And
wow.
She began living in a tent with a dirt floor, and that's where they cooked, and they were always moving, you know, from one location to the next as the road got built. So she's come from that to this computer age we're in now, where there's incredible things going on, but yet I see her in this meditative state. She loves to read the paper, and I can tell when she's got her eyes on. I mean, all three, because
yeah.
she'll be so meditated into this paper, newspaper, that you know, she's just totally focused and she's there. You know, but for her, she's gone through a lot of trials and. You know, pulled through a lot of things, and is a firm believer in silence, the power of silence, and that there's a lot hidden in the silence that people don't discover, because many people are so outwardly focused in trying to have themselves fulfilled through someone else outwardly. And to reach that wholeness requires going within yourself. I'm
absolutely
sure you agree with that, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, Davi, we actually have a mutual friend, Albert, who spoke about this even last night. He was talking about, and we both agree on this, how sudden insight, or basically resonant moments where you're able to resonate to the proper stillness or frequency of stillness, if you want to call it that, or anti-frequency, basically, because it's not vibrating.
Yeah.
The stillness, mm-hmm. when you access that in the moment and you let go of the attachment of how this needs to show up or this worry or that, all the knowledge that you ever need for anything, or anything that you ever need, an insight, a concept, a design, a picture, a memory, a this or that, will come to you, boom, instantly, and it's called sudden insight. And the way it comes to me usually is like when I'm writing a paper, a legal paper for somebody, or if I have to be in court and the judge is trying to bash me around and I know what to say, but something all of a sudden, I just take a deep breath before I respond, and then something else comes in and I say it that way and then say what I was going to say before, and they both meet together in such a way that it adds value, and the guy's like, holy shit, where did you come from? I thought you were just a little random debtor. And it would manifest in other ways for other people, like somebody who's a sports athlete goes into that silence or that stillness state, that zone that they call it, so they express it through sports. Or like you stated with your mother, she expresses it through the reading the paper and perhaps other things. And what the Chinese refer to this is fucking kung fu. And people are like, oh, kung fu, it's fighting. No, this is kung fu. Kung fu is that state, is what I call the zone. And I've talked about it on a past episode. And the zone can be achieved by sitting there doing nothing. You could be standing on your head. You could be stretching. You could be doing yoga. You could just be sitting watching Netflix, which I don't recommend.
Yeah, the epitome is probably the triathlon. But yeah, go ahead. I mean, hourly. Yeah. The epitome would be the triathlon. But yeah, go ahead.
You could be climbing, you could be drumming, doing music, whatever, but the zone will happen to you. And to not only recognize that when it happens, but to also don't waste the opportunity. So if the zone happens and you get these little insights here and there, oh yeah, great, whatever. When you recognize you're in the zone, you can still be in stillness and have thought or introspective thought. So it's not thought about outside things, but an introspective question about your soul. You can ask your higher self things while you're in stillness. And I know that sounds diametrically opposed, like you can't do one while you're in the other, but you can. And by doing that, by taking advantage of the moment, you're amplifying the probability that you're going to reach profound discoveries, as opposed to little things being trickled to you here and there. You'll come across a river of information that had always been available to you, you just didn't have access to it. And realizing how to do that and consistently doing that every day during your life is what's important. Also getting ready to transition for your death. So that was excellent.
One of the big perks, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate your perspective on that, and I love hearing the fact that your mother transitioned from a dirt tent that was moving to the digital age, and still she maintains her old schoolness, it sounds like. Right? That
somewhat,
feeling,
yeah.
Of, like, that,
we got her.
I don't need anything but myself type deal. Everything's possible. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, yeah. She has shown me early in my life the wonders of absolute peace in the face of chaos by adhering to and sticking with her silence.
Excellent.
And, yeah, it's not easy to do. That's a very difficult thing to do when things are quite chaotic, you know, because most people don't want to go within themselves or be silent, you know, because the ego feels attacked. And a lot of the outward influences that I see coming into the planet right now involve the universe prompting this world, the evolutionary life wave on this planet, to ask the question, who am I?
That's right. It's happening and showing up in so many people in so many different ways. I see it every day. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that partly is to do with the fact that we're moving through a very highly charged part of the galaxy right now, and that galaxy is moving through a highly charged part of the universe. I do want to jump over into some historical and some technological and other concepts. I want to talk about sacred masculine as the impetus or the catalyst of feminine, meaning sacred masculine energy, like we'll call it the elements, right? So masculine energy is going to be like fire and metal. And obviously, as we spoke before, the water is the governing element of feminine life. And I'm just going to do a little sidebar here. This is my understanding. The moon was actually brought here as part of a terraforming campaign by advanced negatively oriented entities so that they could start terraforming. And once the entities were evolved enough, then they would start genetically interfering. And so you have evolution and you have creationism all at the same time. Yes, there is a source. Yes, there is a God. It's all expressing itself. We understand that. But the moon was a hollowed out large asteroid, if you will. And it was brought here, and all the tribal cultures talk about the time before the moon was brought here. And the Earth was on a regular straight up and down axis, and there was a shield of water protecting from negative UV rays and letting the other good stuff in. So that's when the biblical times people were talked about as living for thousands of years, and there was no cancer and no this and no that. Well, that was why. And the divine feminine of the planet, Gaia Sophia, the consciousness, which is a living consciousness, was thriving. And at any given time during our course of our eons and hundreds of thousands of years or even millions of years of history, we've had civilizations that have arisen and fallen because of arise because of the divine feminine and falling because of the sacred, the patriarchy, the forced
Absolutely.
Negative murder and death and abuse and rape and torture and so on and so on all levels, not just physical. So that's what's happened to us, which is not natural. I do want to make the distinction that in a natural order of things, my belief, again, just my opinion, is that water, which is the feminine element, and I brought up the moon real quick. I brought up the moon because the moon controls the tides. It controls the water of the planet. So the moon threw the Earth off its axis, caused all the water in the atmosphere to fall, which was the Great Flood, right? Totally destroyed everything, reset everything. And then it also influenced and controlled the water on the planet so they can keep the sacred divine feminine down so that they could, when they started genetically engineering their life forms, that those life forms wouldn't instantly, because of the spark or seed of soul in their that's always in any creation connected to the source, that they wouldn't instantly go, oh, we woke up again, we're a source, we're all one, we have these powers, fuck you guys, you know, we don't want this reality. And then boom, reality would change. Right. In the same way, when the Chinese were experimenting on Chinese psychic children, they found out at some point that these children were so powerful that if they all thought at once, these 10 children, if they all thought at once against any type of war or anything like that, all the tanks, all the weapons, everything on the planet, everything would fucking disappear instantly. That's how powerful they were. So they murdered all of them with poison. Anyways, that's a sidebar. So I wanted to get to the fact that the moon controls lunar, lunatic, lunacy. It controls dysfunction, and it imposes that dysfunction through a patriarchy, a forced patriarchy that we all know and have come to not love. So that's what I wanted to make clear of the distinction of how it's not supposed to be done. Now, how it is done naturally, organically, what I believe is that the elements of fire and metal, which are representations in the physical world of masculine, are able to work with the divine feminine in so many different ways that are just so astounding. Well, Jordan, how do you put that in grounded terms of actual historical content? Well, let's see. Water by itself, if you speak to it, will arrange its molecules in a way to be beneficial to you. Water, if you put some sort of poison in it, and if it's only just a tiny bit, this is homeopathy, I believe, the less of a substance that you put in a dilution, the greater of its imprint or the energetic thing that it leaves behind, it goes throughout the whole water. So the water takes on the energy of the poison or the material or whatever you're trying to do the homeopathy with. So if somebody's been bit by a rattlesnake, you take some of the poison, you put it in the water, and just the tiny drop to a lot of water, and then there's some other things that you do with it, and then you have that person drink water over the next couple of days, and it treats the poison in their body. Because the water is taking on that energy, the masculine biting, the masculine attacking, the masculine poison, the masculine destruction, the masculine breaking down, the masculine this or that, the directed force instead of ease of chaos, right? That is what all of this masculine is coming out in any type of act. And I use the example, Davi, I'll get to you in a second, but I use the example of the rattlesnake biting somebody and using the rattlesnake poison, the masculine event, with a medium of femininity, which is the water, to then amplify the masculine in a reversed healing way, in a healing, loving, feminine, motherly way, right? To heal the body, and then boom, you're done. What are some other examples? Well, the reason the Roman army, the sole reason that the Roman army was so powerful. See, people say, oh, because they had their tactics and they did their little shield formations and the shit like that. Yeah, that helped them, but Greeks were doing that. All sorts of other people are doing that. That necessarily wasn't it. They had the most sustainable logistics supply train of any military armed force ever. What I mean by that is they were putting silver, which is metal, which is masculine. They were putting silver in their life, getting produce, giving produce, their foods, their breads, their corn, their baskets, their bushels. They were putting silver coins in there. Even their milk, their water, their liquids, they put silver coins in there. And the silver is antiviral, antibiotic, anti-this. And it worked with the liquids, and it worked with the breads, and it worked with all of that stuff, that sacred, divine, feminine, life-giving energy, to sustain it longer and to keep it from being broken down. You understand? So the masculine shaped the feminine, and the feminine shapes the masculine, or like the water erodes the rock. Well, the rock is harder than the water, but over time it's going to erode it down. You understand? So I went on all these tangents on this little loop, but they're all connected, just to show you that the natural order is a playful interaction. Just like everybody is idealizing, well, not anymore, quick sex and a quick fuck, and not feeling and not activating your feels. God, I'm going to throw up even saying that. That is what's idealized today. But the natural of what should be idealized is a deep sacred connection with the other counterpart of you, whether you recognize that as feminine or male, having that playful, we live from lifetime to lifetime. We're going from this dimension and playing and learning and growing together as each half of a part of a soul that's come from the source. That is what should be idealized, and that is what I'm speaking of. That it's the elements or the traces of that shows up in all these different events and concepts in nature. Okay? So the physics in the universe is telling you what's happening already. It's showing you. Okay? Davi, I want to get your take on this. I know I just soapbox ranted a little bit there, but I wanted to get all of that out because, again, we've only got an hour. So go ahead and jump in and give me some counterpoints or whatever you want to say, and we'll go from there.
Well, you briefly touched on it, but, you know, reaching outwardly for something that one needs to discover within themselves might not be the right avenue to take, you know, but when we're young, you know, we want to experiment with everything. And there's a Sanskrit term titled Anuraga. It's one word. And Anu means Adam, and of course everyone knows what a raga is. It's a dance. So this idea of Shiva, Shakti, you know, we're in this divine dance of, in the world, and we have all these outward influences that are like seem to be bombarding us incessantly, just continuously from every angle. And so what I discovered, you know, to get right down to it, is that through meditation, and, you know, this doesn't happen overnight. The three P's are patience, purity, and perseverance. So, but when a person begins to meditate and practice yoga and does that for several years, then there's this bliss that comes about, and you become impervious to anything.
Unfuckwithable.
You'll notice that people around you will be real interested in you for some unknown reason. They don't even know why, but they want what you've got, basically. It sounded pompous about it, but it's a wonderful experience if anybody has the patience, really, because that's what it takes most of all, and just, well, you know, going through it, because, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's funny that you actually talked about this, because our last couple shows, two shows ago, Karma, I talked about karma's not a bitch until you fail to settle your debts, and then it is. I spoke about exactly what you're saying I'll let you continue.
It gets back to that, to the big L word, capital L, love. It gets back to that. See, it's all about discovering what that is and what that means. You know, if we go back and look at the story of Psyche, and, you know, like, that's an aspect of the mind. You know, that's a feminine aspect. So the third task required a psych fill a crystal bottle with water from the spring that feeds the river Styx and Cocytus, the streams of the underworld. So she is helped. And the story relates that the eagle of Zeus takes the bottle, fetches the water, and brings it back to her. So, I mean, this is an incredible metaphorical story of how meditation occurs and,
that's right.
and how, you know, the God in you actually helps. And it's like you take one step that direction and, the God will take 10 steps back toward you is the way I like to look at it. But
you're getting close to the resonant frequency of source. Yeah, I wanted to let you get a little bit further into it before I was going to tell you. In the karmic episode last time, we actually talked about, you had said it sounded pompous, but no, it doesn't. We had talked about the fact that once you've accumulated enough credit or good karma in this lifetime or previous lifetimes, you can pretty much go around feeling like nothing can touch, and nothing does. You're manifesting a good reality in a world full of shit, and people see it and they want it. And I think that's important to recognize that what you're manifesting is the essence of love, the essence of divine feminine, the essence of creator, of source. And it comes with a lot of hard work, like you said. So that's
yeah,
all
you know, the, yeah, the, what happens, you know, when this crystal bottle gets filled with water, it's returned to the feminine, it's like the union of the highest takes place. And the stream itself representing that vital energy known in occult literature as Kundalini. But the eagle of Zeus represents the highest soaring flight of intuitive spiritual perception, the Buddhic principle. And the crystal bottle is a symbol of Manas. Manas means mind. That's about as easy to interpret it right across. But there's lower mind, which is deals with strictly the outward duality and everyday to day consciousness, that sort of thing.
I think
the
Buddhic
principle, the Buddhi
is
Buddhi stands for wisdom. So what you've done when you've filled this crystal bottle is you've awakened the Buddhic principle, which is the wisdom mind.
Well, Davi, have you heard of archetypes?
Certainly.
Like Jungian archetypes? Okay. When you speak, it reminds me of the fact that archetypes are just a natural order of things. So the archetype of the vessel, right? They're just universal truths that certain archetypes are there. An archetype of a vessel, and then the archetype of what fills the vessel is typically some sort of liquid. Well, the vessel is rigid, hard, male, is it not? Typically. And what fills the vessel, or the space inside, is typically liquid, fluid, moving, abundant, life-giving, feminine, right? So for you to be speaking about this Egyptian myth and also alluding to the fact that there is hidden knowledge in there, they're essentially saying that once she was able, when she went to the underworld, the task that was given to her was a required task. In order to proceed out of the lower realms, you have to unite and balance and fix all the things that you failed to fix in the body, and then you can proceed on from there, or as they say, cross the river Styx. So thank you for that story. That blew my mind. I had to get that out. And again, I apologize if I'm interrupting a little bit. I'm having trouble hearing sometimes, like you'll break up and it sounds like you've stopped talking and then you start talking again. So please give us some more insights on that. We only have about 14 more minutes, so just maybe drop something, some knowledge here, and then we'll get into the surges of divine feminine on this planet. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, in the mundane phenomena, which is the everyday world that we all see and you know, it comes in through the senses, mind, lower mind being the sixth sense. The concepts of dark and light and good and evil and all these things that seem to be, you know, continuously at war out there, really, you know, cease to exist because nothing exists outside of love. Nothing exists outside of light. the light is the love. And when we realized that everything in manifestation came from that light and will eventually return back to it, then, you know, all the so-called bad things of the world or evil of the world or devils, it all kind of like, I don't know, it just kind of minimizes it constructively, so it goes away, and all that remains is love and light. And that might sound like pixies and fairy dust, but it's real stuff, man.
Once you've gotten to those levels and you've surpassed the lower chaotic crap that's trapping the right outside the physical dimension, everything you're talking about, absolutely true. You're talking about the source fabric nature of the universe. You're talking about the fact that everything is what it is, and it's not classified as good or evil, because it's just a high, it's almost unimaginable for us to think that, oh, somebody's doing this evil here and it can't be evil there. Well, it's not necessarily, it has to be addressed. It's accountability. There is spiritual accountability, but they don't recognize it necessarily as evil. It's just like, oh, well, dude, you can do that if you want, but you do see what's going to happen, right? And, you know,
yeah, that's the
some
problem.
Of that,
a lot of people.
Exactly. Exactly.
A lot of people don't.
So they're not necessarily
yeah.
saying, oh, you're evil for that. They're just saying, well, if you make those choices, this is typically what is the result because of the laws of the universe. So do
well,
what you
will.
Well,
if you have had the option to do whatever you would, which we do, and if you wanted to do either good or evil and you knew you'd still be loved for it regardless, you know, you might decide to do the wrong thing and create some retributive karma. But yeah, you know, the thing about the universe is if you were out there and you shot a gun, the bullet would come around and hit you in the back.
That's right.
Whatever goes around comes around, bro, right?
Yeah, it's all spiritual contracting and accounting outside of the body. It's all the universe. The creator is like the ultimate contractor. The dude knows the man, the woman, the whatever you... I like to call him the dude because I like the Big Lebowski and I like Jeff Bridges and his voice.
Oh, cool.
So
that's
it
what
reminds me a lot of
me before.
Yeah, you too. You have the same similar thing. So
some of my friends call me the Big Lebowski.
So the dude, the creator, I think of him as like a master negotiator. The guy's like, all right, here's the principles, and there's exceptions to the principles, and this is what we'll do with the exceptions, and blah, 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 and this and that, and yada, yada. Okay, ready, go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. It really is. So,
absolutely.
Oh, man. And when you just think about it, when you think about the paradox of time, like, I've existed for billions of years, for eons. I'm the source, I'm the creator, but at the same time, I'm this tiny little puny meat sack, or this vessel of meat sack is holding me and restraining me in these heavy conditions to a certain extent.
Well,
and then at the same time, I'm living, you know, billions of different realities here and there. But to even conceive of what was before the creator, if anything, or what mechanism allows for the fact that the creator and creation has always been here? Or cycles of it have always been, or what is always been, or how does that work? Like, where did everything come from? Like, literally, where is the universe and all that? Like, going deep in there is where you'll get access to levels of just profound insight and love. And the thing that comes to me, Davi, and I'll let you finish here, but the thing that comes to me is just when I get reaching too far away up in there, it's just like, just remember the universe is love. Don't worry about that right now. You'll remember when you get out of the body what that means or how that works. And at other times, things are like, oh, here's how that works.
Okay. But the paradox of the meat sack is that you have to give it up to get it. That's one of the biggest paradoxes in life. And that's what how the ego has to be addressed, really, for each of us personally. We have to give it up to get it. And, you know, If I want to surrender to love and I want to completely become love, then there's going to have to be some sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up something in order to gain that wonderful, incredible, undefinable thing, you know, that everybody's really after, in all kinds of weird and perverted and strange ways in the phenomena, but has only one divine aspect. And so, you know, when we unite the duality within us and channel that energy upward, you know, what I was told is that the semen in men, that actually transmutes into a gas that goes up the central channel in the spinal column. There's a hollow tube that runs straight up it to the pineal pituitary, and that's how it's activated, through celibacy, upstairs.
Well, there's also
to mankind.
There's also other ways to activate it as well. So there's all different ways to do it, and I know what you're talking about. The recycling of semen is another way. So some monks will actually press the perineum point. It will recycle the semen back, not only into the bloodstream, but through that channel. The energy will split off from the physicality matter of the liquid. The liquid energy goes into the bloodstream, back in there, and then the, energy goes up that hollow tube channel that you're talking about. And men, the being circumcised removes the nerve endings that, like I said, the technological aspect, if you're not an ascended master, you need a little help. Well, the biological technology of having your foreskin attached allows you, if you're consciously experiencing a sexual moment and embracing that as opposed to just doing it for whatever, it allows you to actually connect to a certain extent through that channel. And again, there's outside interference that keeps people from getting all the way through on the whole. So, a big part of that is love and divine feminine. So, we don't have a lot of time left, but I do, and we might have to have you back on possibly, but I want to get your story. Now that we're talking about love, there's been surges of love. I'm going to go quickly through this just because we're running out of time, and hours never long enough. There's been surges of love. So what do those represent as? Well, balanced technologically and socially sustainable communities. Well, what do I mean? Well, Mu, Lemuria, Atlantis, the Renaissance era in Europe, the Roaring 20s in America, the 60s in America, the 90s in America. You understand? And noticed that 20s, 60s, 90s is closer than hundreds of thousands of years or thousands of years apart between the first Renaissances. And that tells you, like with the Schumann frequency, as it's rising, our consciousness is rising, and the ability for divine feminine to throw off the yoke of the patriarchal oppression that's happening through child ritual sacrifice, through social engineering, through economic debt slavery, and all the things we talked about, war and disease and all that shit. Well, every couple of decades, or closer and closer and closer and more frequent, we're living in time periods where we're able to throw all of this off of our back and embrace the divine feminine that's rising with the planet, okay? And these surges are getting closer and closer. And I think one of the actual foundational surges, in my belief, was the 60s. So before we end the show, we're just real quick, we're going to have Davi tell us about just a few of the highlights of your experience, the important things you want to share during your summer of 66 there in Haight-Ashbury, and maybe some, even the couple things that were misconstrued that people think are true and are not. And I'll just take it away, if you will.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jordan. I don't believe there's anything more important than this right now, but the thing about the Haight in 66 and 67, there were 1,500 kids a day coming into the Bay Area from all over the country. And I'm not sure if many of your listeners are aware of that statistic, but when you take 1,500 kids a day coming in to one city and they're all frying on LSD, you're really definitely creating a surge. And we've come to find out after decades that the ascended masters were actually behind that movement and that surge to raise the level of consciousness in the evolution of the life wave on this planet, because it's been a long time since that's been done, and it is way, I feel like overdue, but you know, it's my personal kind of bend on it, but, you know, getting back to what you were talking about, on the other hand, which is the left-hand path, I call it the left-hand path, if we could show those who are beguiled by the desire for power or glamorized by psychic phenomena, there's so many dangers of that path that they're pursuing. You know, I just can't go into it all right here. But the right-hand path is the path of love, of tolerance, of acceptance, of all these properties that are uplifting to human values and virtues and developing character and maintaining, you know, the evolution of the life wave, not only on the individual, for the individual, but for everyone. Because, like you said earlier, there's no one that's excluded for any reason. Everyone's on this rocket ship, this blue rocket ship we're riding through space on. Isn't it a beauty? How could we have been given a greater spaceship? It's incredible. And Jordan, I want to thank you so much for inviting me, man.
You're so welcome. I really appreciate all your insight and experiences, and I really want to hear more about, like, what was the biggest thing for you besides the proximity of so many people on the same or similar frequency? What really stuck out to you, or what do you remember about that summer?
One of the greatest things, well, I'll give you two things. One of the, as a guitar player, one of the most fun things is that all the bands you remember from the 60s that were out in California, if they were in San Francisco, they all played Free in Golden Gate Park. And that was just incredible. Whoa. I mean, you know, a whole park full of kids from all over the country, dancing for Make Love, Not War, and Flower Power, and, you know, just all dancing in a park full of people with some of the best music you've ever heard in your life. And the other one was, there was a buzz on the hate all up and down the street, and people were saying, have you seen this little guy with the big afro that's floating up and down the street? And it actually was Sai Baba, who was
really
transporting himself from India to the Ashbury District, and he would be actually levitating and floating down the streets. And you know, that's really interesting to see something like that when you're on acid. So,
you've ever heard of Baba G?
Oh yeah.
So there's actually an expedition of British people that were traveling in the Himalayas, and right before they ended up having to eat each other because they got stranded, and it was months or whatever, weeks, I guess. They ran out of food, all that jazz. Right before they were about to turn on each other, a guy just appeared out of nowhere. His name's Baba G, and did his thing. So, yeah, it's totally possible.
Cool.
And like you said, the Ascended Masters were responsible for taking the LSD mind control experiment and reversing it. The universe and the agents or the volunteers of the universe, which are typically volunteer races like Pleiadians and central races and so on, and even you as a soul, if you identify as somebody who comes from one of those families, the main weapon that they have is the opposite. They turn so they take whatever somebody else is already karmically engaged in and they flip it on its head and turn it around to make something positive. And because they're making something positive that betters everybody else, the need for that karma outweighs the need for the other person to experience the negative karma. And so not only do they get helped, but also everybody else is helped as well. So, So we're out of time. I got to get off the, you know, we got another show coming on here behind us. But I really wanted to extend my deepest thanks to you for coming on and just filling this space with very, very valuable knowledge and experience and memory that you've shared. So thank you for that.
Welcome, man. Love, peace, and joy.
Excellent. Likewise to you and to everyone else. And just remember, until next time, pierce the veil and the truth will reveal itself.
Pierce the veil.